ยอ่ะ
Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your steadfast love and mercies upon our lives. Thank you for your interventions we have received in so many ways. Thank you, Lord, for your power that is working in us, producing victories and successes and breakthroughs in our lives. Thank you for placing your honor upon us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for showing us revelations about your will for our lives. Revelations about your kingdom, revelations about you yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for enlightening our understanding. Thank you for opening our understanding to perceive heavenly things more than we have known them before. Thank you for opening our understanding to see beyond what we read in the Bible, to see more mysteries of your kingdom that are beyond the letters of the scriptures. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the results we get after applying your word in our lives and applying your word on our situations and daily activities. Thank you for great results that we see. You have proved to us, you have proven to us that your word is true, that your word can be trusted. Thank you, Lord. I ask, O Lord, that you bless everyone that have been following our Bible study classes in this ministry consistently. I ask that you bless them with great wisdom and understanding and knowledge from you at this time, in Jesus' name. And even those that will join this evening, O Lord, minister to every heart and let your will prevail in every life. Let your name be glorified. Have your way in this place. Thank you, Lord, for we know you will do more than we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to move to the next topic, which is angels are very close to those who depend so much on God. Or you can say those who depend fully on God. Angels are very close to those who depend so much on God. Those who depend completely on God, fully on God, totally on God. Angels are very close to those people. Remember that we have been talking on designing the realm of God and his angels. So you should be sure that every time you depend on God completely without having another alternative, you should be sure that thousands of angels are at your service every time you absolutely depend on God without any reservation. Every time you completely depend on God and on God's word, be sure that thousands of angels are at your service. So we're going to be looking at scriptures that really support this topic. And I pray that by the end of this teaching, you will really correct many things in your walk with God, especially those areas you are still finding it difficult to fully depend on God. I pray that you will correct yourself in those areas. Let us look at the book of Psalm 107. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Is not everyone that this verse let me put it this way. It is not everyone that will experience what is written in this verse. It is not everyone that cries to God in their trouble that God usually rescue from their distresses. And the reason is because many people only remember God in their distresses, in their troubles. That is why many remember God. Before they entered into trouble, they didn't remember God. Or they refuse to remember God. So it is when they are in trouble that they will now cry unto God. And that is why God doesn't respond to many people. So this verse in Psalm 107 verse 28 doesn't work for many people. And I've just told you the reason. Yeah. I don't know if I've said it here before. There are some people that will come to me with prayer requests, whether for themselves or for someone in their family, in their families, maybe a relative or a family member. Yeah, and they would tell me that this person is in a critical condition. Man of God, please pray that he or she would survive. Pray that he or she will come out of this sickness. Yeah. And whenever I pray for those people, some of them, I see them as already dead. Even before I start praying, the moment I set my mind to pray on that request, to pray on the prayer request I get from those people, the moment I set my mind to pray on that request, I see that those people, I mean, I see that the person they wanted me to pray for is already dead. Yeah, even though the person is still breathing in the hospital, but I see the person has already dead. So sometimes I might tell them that this person will not make it. And some other times I would just say, may God have mercy on him or whatever. Yeah, depending on the spiritual maturity of the person I'm talking to. Yeah, and the Lord would tell me that, why is it when they have gotten into critical stage of the condition? Why is it that time they come for prayer? Or why is it that they only remember God when the situation have gotten so worse and very critical? Yeah, he said if they had come earlier before that time, there might be hope for the sick person. That is, if they had requested prayers, if they had remembered God earlier, before the situation got out of hand, that there might be hope for that person. Yeah. So sometimes God couldn't help those people because the situation have gotten out of hand. We should not only cry to God when we are in trouble times. We should cry to God always. We should depend on God always. Yeah. So in so doing, when trouble comes and we cry to him, he will come to rescue us, because he already have enlisted our names among those that cannot do without him. I mean, he would have already enlisted your name among those that can't do without him, those that can't survive without him, those that can't live without him. Yeah, you would have already enlisted your name among such people. So whenever you call in time of trouble, he will mobilize his angels to rescue you. But if you have been living your life anyhow you want it, and your trust is in other things, your trust is in maybe your strength, your wisdom, your money, your emotions, and you have been living your life that way, trusting in the things of this world, in your strength and capabilities. And then you now run into trouble one day, and then you're now crying out and saying, and then you're now saying, "Oh Lord, please save me. Oh Lord, please rescue me." God will not hear your cry, because you are a rebel. Or is it a rebel, they call it? R-E-B-E-L. Yeah. Because all these times, you have been doing your things your own way. You have been going on your own ways. You never cared about God. You never cared about the things of God, the will of God. You never cared about depending on God, looking up to God. Why is it when you are in trouble, you now remember God? Yeah, so you are like a rebel. Yeah. And God is not a fool. Yeah. God is not a fool. So that is why God will not respond in the days such people enter into troubles and distresses and problems. God will not respond. Because all these years or all these months, they haven't been trusting in Him. Yeah. They haven't been trusting in Him. So this verse I have read, Psalm 107, verse 28, will only work for those whose trust has been in the Lord continuously. Those who have learned to depend on God always, without fear, without doubting. Those are the ones that would encounter the reality of this verse in Psalm 107 verse 28. Let me read it again. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. I pray for you that as you depend fully on the Lord, whenever you cry to God in your troubles, it shall appear suddenly, instantly, immediately, to rescue you out of your troubles in Jesus' name. Let's look at another scripture that talks about the same thing. In Psalm 118, verse 5. Psalm 118, verse 5. For those of you that just joined, our topic says, angels are very close to those who depend so much on God, or those who depend completely on God, those who depend fully on God. Angels are very close to them. Psalm 118 verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Praise the Lord. Verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Hallelujah. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Verse 6, the Lord is side. I will not fear. I love that verse. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? So these are scriptures coming from men who have experienced the faithfulness of God. These are scriptures coming from experiences. Yeah. So the writer of this verse did not just write it, he had experienced it. He had experienced God in this way. And you can also experience God's faithfulness in this way if you depend on your God completely. If you depend on God completely. In fact, God is going to put angels on standby. Yeah. The military forces of countries, they used to have some soldiers, they call them soldiers on standby. Those soldiers, they are not the one that usually go out to fight the enemies. They are on standby waiting for orders. In case when the ones that are on the field fighting the enemy are getting reduced in number. Yeah, so they will call those ones on standby. So God can put his angels on standby in your life because he knows that your trust is in him. He knows that you have no other God beside him because he knows that you have no other helper, no other deliverer, no other savior, no other defender, no other rock, no other fortress beside him. So you will put angels on standby in your life. God knows people in this category I'm talking about. And not everyone is in this category. Yeah, not everyone trusts God fully. If they do, if many people trust God fully, they will not be manifesting some attitudes. If they really trust God fully. Yeah. So the angels of the Lord are on standby in the lives of those that trust God completely. So anytime they call unto God in their distress, God always answers. I am a living example. There's no time I call unto God in my distress that he doesn't answer. Yeah, even before I call, he is already encouraging me, counseling me, even before I call. Yeah, because he's always with me. He knows I can't survive without him. He knows I can't move on without him. Yeah. I pray that you will be like such Christians, such believers, so that you can enjoy the faithfulness of God so much. May the Lord help you. I know of a brother. Yeah. We used to talk because he likes to hear me talk on spiritual things, on the things of God's kingdom. Yeah, but there was a time that he would have made a decision that would change his life forever, and God was watching him, but he couldn't make that decision. I mean, God was waiting for him to make a decision that would change his life forever, but he could not, because he couldn't trust the Lord completely. Yeah, I did all I could to encourage him to open his eyes, but yet he couldn't make the decision. What was the decision? God wanted him to leave everything he was doing and focus on his work. I mean, focus on God's work and focus on spiritual growth. That is, God wants him to stop every secular work or secular job he was doing to make money. God wanted him to stop all those things and focus only on his work, and focus only on the things of his kingdom. But he could not. And I looked at him, I felt sorry for him. Not that, I felt sorry that I believe you understand what I want to say. I didn't feel sorry because God wants him to lose his, God wants him to leave his job. That was not why I felt sorry. I felt sorry because he refused to leave his job. That was why I felt sorry for him. Yeah, that he refused to withdraw from those things he was doing and to focus on the work of God wholly. That was why I felt sorry for him, because I know he has just missed a lifetime opportunity. Yeah, he had just missed a chance to change his life forever. Yeah, so I don't know, maybe there are some decisions. God is waiting for you also that is hearing me right now. God is waiting for you to make some decisions. But up till now, you have not made such decisions because you don't trust him. Because you don't fully depend on him. May the Lord help you. Now let's move to another scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread wholly, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Let me read from New Living Translation. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry, and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you. your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember some time ago, I was speaking with a sister that was my colleague in the nursing profession, because we went to the same nursing school. We were in the same, she was my coursemate. Let me put it that way. We were in the same class. Yeah, so she heard that I couldn't continue in the nursing job, that I had to resign to serve the Lord fully. So she was now asking me that, how have you been coping? How have you been surviving? I said, by the word of God. She just laughed. She laughed and said, are you saying the word of God is the rice and beans you are eating? Are you saying the word of God is the food you are eating to survive? Are you saying that the word of God is what is putting food on your table? I said, yes, that is the word of God. That is how I've been living. Yeah, she seemed not to understand, because she wasn't in my shoes. So she doesn't know how this, the kind of life I'm living, how this life operates. She doesn't know. Yeah, but the truth remains that it is the word of God that is keeping me, in health, in prosperity, in abundance. Yeah, it is the word that comes out from the mouth of God. Yeah, because all I need is to trust that word. Or I should say, all I have been doing is to trust that word. To follow that word. To practice that word. To follow everything His word teaches. That is all I have been doing. And God has been faithful. Because no one would follow Him that way and still suffer. The children of Israel suffered because they couldn't understand what God was teaching them. Now, this is what God was teaching them. That verse says, He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. People do not live by bread alone. But we live by every word. What that means is that even the bread that you eat when you are hungry, that bread is available because of the word of God. Whatever God that created that thing. The people that made the bread, the word of God, created them. Yeah, so it's showing us that even the bread is a product of the word of God. If you read Hebrews 11 verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the whole world, the universe, was created by the word of God. And that these visible things we are saying came out of the invisible realm. The visible things that we see, they do not come from physical things. They come from the invisible realms. So even the bread is a product of the word of God. So which means that we actually live by the word of God and not by bread. I don't know if you are getting my explanation. It is actually the word of God that is sustaining the universe, that is sustaining all living things, including human beings. Because God made sure that what will keep human beings alive has been created first, before he created humans. And it was his word that created everything. People can plant in the ground, and what they plant will grow as a crop because of the word of God. So there's an authority in the soil. There's an authority of God in the soil that says, whenever anyone plants a seed into you, give them back food. Give them food back. Give them food in return. Anyone that plants seed into this soil shall get food in return, or food crops in return. So everything is a product of the word of God, including the bread that we eat. So which means that our survival is actually in the word of God. Our survival is by the word of God. Both the things the word of God created before we were born, and the new things that the word of God is going to create, even now that we are serving God. So you should be able to trust his word. Yeah, because God is still speaking. And because God is still speaking, it means God is still creating things. So if we trust in the word of God, he is able to create things out of nothing. Because everything also came out of nothing. Everything we see today, they came out of nothing. All God was saying is, let there be things. Let there be that. So where were those things before they appeared? They were inside of God. So all he was saying was, let this one appear, and they appeared. So if everything that we see today came out of nothing, then that means that the same power that brings things out of nothing can still do much more if people will trust in that power. And that power is the word of God. If we can continue to trust in the word of God, you are going to see him bring things out of nothing. And there are angels he has given that assignment. Remember that he said in this verse that your ancestors, they don't even know what is called manna. They have not seen this food I have released from the sky. They have never seen anything like this before. So which means that if we trust the word of God, we are able to produce a change that no one has seen before. I don't know if you are getting my point. If this generation can trust the word of God, this generation of Christians can produce a change that have never been heard of before. Even you, your life can produce a change, a transformation, a revival that has never been heard of in history. If you can dare to trust God. Yeah, so God was teaching them that we live by the word of God, by the word that comes out of the mouth of God. In those days, in the Old Testament days, people just need to hear what God is saying. They don't care about the rest. They just want to hear what God is saying. Yeah. That is all they want to hear. Because they know that once God says it, that is all. They are not like doubting Thomas. Many of us are in this generation. The believers in the Old Testament days. I'm still going to share with you a verse, a passage to confirm what I'm saying now. We are still coming to that verse. The believers in the Old Testament days, they are not so full of doubts like we in this generation. All they needed is just to hear what is God saying. Once they can hear what God is saying, they believe the rest is not. Because they know it will happen. Yeah. I pray that the Lord help you to trust Him fully. In Jesus' name. Let us move to another scripture. John chapter 15. Verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. For without me, so how do we abide in Him if we can't trust His word? How will you abide in Him? How will He abide in you if you cannot trust His word? Of course, you know that that is impossible. Yeah. It's impossible. We abide in Him as branches by trusting Him to supply the nutrients. You know, branches, they draw nutrients from the stem. Yeah, the branches of a tree, they draw nutrients from the stem. Yeah, so how can you abide in Him if you don't trust Him enough that He would supply the nutrient, that He would supply strength, life, that He would supply revelations, directions, instructions, that He will supply all your needs? How can you abide in Him if you cannot trust Him? It's impossible. Yeah. So this So what many of us do is that we starve. You know what it means to starve? We starve ourselves because we cannot trust them. Yeah, and eventually we start drying up. And after that, we die. Because we cannot trust them. We starve, we dry up, and then we die. And then we fall off the tree. Because once the branch can no longer receive nutrients and life from the tree, it falls off. Yeah, it dies. That is the case with many believers. Yeah, today you will see a lot of ministers of God in quotes. They want to do ministry without trusting in the Lord. They want to succeed in ministry without drawing life from the vine. How will they succeed? These so-called ministers of Jesus Christ, they already have everything planned out in their brain, in their brains. Yeah. They already have how they want to do the ministry. So they don't need him. They don't need God. They don't need Jesus. They just want Jesus to approve whatever they have decided to do for him. So they just tell Jesus, "Jesus, this is what I'm doing now. This is how I want to preach. This is how I want to pray for people. So just follow. Once I pray for them, Jesus, are you hearing me? Jesus, once I pray for them, just manifest and do it." They have not even asked Jesus, "How do you want me to pray for the people? How do you want me to preach to the people? What do you want me to say?" Yeah. And they say, and they tell us that they are ministers of Jesus. But they don't depend on Jesus in their ministries. Then how would they survive? How would they succeed? Of course they can't succeed. Yeah. There's no way they can succeed like that. So Jesus said that. He said, "For without me, ye can do nothing. Until you come to the point where you can say this thing Jesus said in John chapter 15 verse 5. Until you come to the point where you can repeat the same and say it sincerely. And say, without Jesus, I can do nothing. Without Jesus, I can pray nothing. I can preach nothing. I can teach nothing. I can see nothing. I can have nothing. I can become nothing." Until you come to that point, you have not depended on God. Until you come to the point where you tell yourself that without Jesus, I can do nothing, then you have not depended on God. Yeah, until you come to the point where you can't do anything successfully without the support from Jesus, without the help help from Jesus, without the strength from Jesus, without the intervention from Jesus, then you are not depending on God, and you have not depended on God. Yeah, so I pray that you will really learn to depend on God. There was a teaching where I really taught a lot on this topic, on depending on God. You can go and look for the teaching. I think the teaching, the title of the teaching was The Wonders of God's Grace. The Wonders of God's Grace. So I really talked at length on depending on God. But today, why I'm talking on this is that depending on God is a secret to receiving angelic support, angelic interventions, angelic encounters. Yeah. Because God has his angels on standby in the lives of those that cannot do without him. Yeah, as I am now, there is nothing I can do without Jesus. Even what I'm doing right now, I cannot do it without him backing me up. So everything, I trust him. Before, I used to plan many things, write down many things, plan how I'm going to talk, plan how I'm going to pray, and the kind of result I want to see after I have prayed. But I was killing myself, I did not know, because gradually I was wearing myself out, because I realized that there's so much I have to do in ministry. And if I have to do all of those things from my own wisdom and strength, I know there's no way I will live long. Yeah. So God came to my rescue, and he taught me how to depend on him, even in doing his work. In fact, he told me that I can't do his work, that it's only by his spirit I can do his work. Yeah, so all I did is just to let his spirit flow through me. So if I tell you anything, before you say apostle said this, first of all, consider the fact that Jesus might be the one saying that thing through my mouth. Because almost everything I say, I depend on him to say them. So if I would tell you anything, or even advise you, without saying, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what I saw in the realm of the Spirit, this is what the Holy Ghost is saying," without including those things, I mean, without including those clauses or phrase that this is what the Holy Ghost is saying, maybe I just counsel you normally. I just encourage you normally, counsel you, advise you, or teach you like what I'm doing right now. Before you say, "This is what the apostle said," first of all, think on the fact that, what if it is Jesus talking to me through this man? Because I depend on Jesus for everything I say, for everything I do. So it's possible that everything God has been saying through me is a prophetic word to you, to your personal life. Yeah, so ministry becomes so beautiful when you do it in absolute trust in Jesus. I pray that the Lord will help you. And not just ministry, your entire life, marriage, career, family, business, everything becomes glorious when you do it out of complete trust in Jesus. Amen. Now, let us look at the last scripture before we round off the teaching, which is one of the examples in the Bible of the miracles of trusting God. I mean, the miracles that follows trusting God. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 9. I'm going to read from New Living Translation. And I want you to also open your Bible to this place and follow me as I read. The king of Edom and his troops joined them. That is, this king joined the king of Judah and the king of Israel. All of them, they were going to fight the people of Moab, the land of Moab. So the king of Edom and his troops joined them, and all three armies traveled along a roundabout route through the wilderness for 7 days. But there was no water for the men or their animals. What should we do? The king of Israel cried out. The Lord has brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us. But King Jehoshaphat of Judah asked, is there no prophet of the Lord with us? If there is, we can ask the Lord what to do through him. One of King Joram's officers replied, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. Jehoshaphat said, yes, the Lord speaks through him. So the king of Israel, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, and the king of Edom went to consult with Elisha. Why are you coming to me? Elisha asked the king of Israel. Go to the pagan prophets of your father and mother. This was Elisha talking to the king of Israel. Because the king of Israel at this time was a son to King Ahab. And you know that King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, they served Baal, they served pagan gods. Yeah, so Elisha had hatred for such people that serve other gods. So he said, why are you coming to me? Elisha asked the king of Israel. Go to the pagan prophets of your father and mother. But King Joram of Israel said, no, for it was the Lord who called us three kings here, only to be defeated. of Moab. Only him knows what he meant by that. I guess he was saying that it is the Lord that put us in this trouble. Yeah, but this is what Elisha said. Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother with you except for my respect for King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Now, bring me someone who can play the harp." While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha. And he said, "This is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and your cattle and other animals. But this is only a simple thing for the Lord, for he will make you victorious over the army of Moab. You will conquer the best of their towns, even the fortified ones. You will cut down all their good trees, stop up all their springs, and ruin all their good land with stones. The next day, at about the time when the morning sacrifice was offered, water suddenly appeared." Praise the Lord. You know, I mentioned earlier that if we trust the word of the Lord, he is able to make things appear from nothing. So these were dry grounds. There was no water. They have journeyed through that area for 7 days. No water anywhere. And there's someone, you know, following the word of God, my looks, my sound are senseless. And then someone just tells you that, just dig the ground. Dig many places and wait, water will come. In a place that is so dry, and it's not like you dig the ground like you dig down to meet water that is under the ground, like people will dig boreholes or dig well. These are shallow, what did they call it? Yeah. It says that these are shallow holes, if I can call it like that. Yeah, so they just they dug the ground. Yeah, and the following day, water suddenly appeared from nowhere. I'm sure angels did that. Yeah, water suddenly appeared. Let me continue the reading. It was flowing from the direction of Edom, and soon there was water everywhere. Hallelujah. There was water everywhere. Meanwhile, when the people of Moab heard about the three armies marching against them, they mobilized every man who was old enough to strap on his sword. And they stationed themselves along their border. But when they got up the next morning, the sun was shining across the water, making it appear red to the Moabites. So when the sun was shining, the water that came out of the ground and fell something like a blood from afar, because the sun was shining through that water. So it makes the water look like blood. So you can see how God can deceive the enemies of his people. They thought it was blood, but it was not blood. So in excitement, they were like, wow. Let me continue. Verse 22. But when they got up the next morning, the sun was shining across the water, making it appear red to the Moabites, like blood. It's blood, the Moabites exclaimed. The three armies must have attacked and killed each other. Let's go, men of Moab, and collect the plunder. So perhaps some of them did not even draw out their sword. Or maybe they just dropped the sword somewhere. They thought the three armies, the armies of Edom and Moab and Israel and Judah, they thought they had killed themselves. So they were going to collect the plunder. I pray that God would deceive your enemies like that, for you to slaughter them all. In Jesus' name. So that was how God deceived them. Verse 24. But when the Moabites arrived at the Israelite camp, the army of Israel rushed out and attacked them until they turned and ran. The army of Israel chased them into the land of Moab, destroying everything as they went. They destroyed the towns, covered their good lands with stones, stopped up all the springs, and cut down all the good trees. Finally, only Kehareset and its stones walls were left. But men with slings surrounded and attacked it. Yeah, so they won the battle eventually. How? By trusting in the word of the Lord. By trusting in the word that comes out of the mouth of God. Yeah. So the question is, do you trust in the word of the Lord? Do you depend on God so much that you can't survive without him? Do you depend on God so much that you can't succeed without him? Or you just say it with your mouth, but in actions you deny that you trust him? This is beyond saying with your mouth, I trust God. God is everything I have. Does your actions prove the same? Does your actions confirm that you really trust him fully and that you can't actually survive without him? When we say that you trust God, we're talking about that let me give an example. Somebody said something some time ago. He said, childlike faith is one of the powerful ways to get a lot of things from God. He said, have you seen how children keep on smiling and laughing even when the father or the mother is throwing him or her up into the air? You know how parents throw someone up how parents can throw their little children home to catch them. Throw them home to catch them. Yeah. So he said, those children, they'll keep smiling. They don't even think of what's in the hand of my father. Suddenly fell and he couldn't catch me and I smashed my head on the ground and died. They don't think about that. Yeah, all they know is that my father will catch me just as he has been catching me. So as the father throws the child home, the child smile, laugh, you catch the child again. The parent throws the child home and catch the child again. And the child keeps smiling. Yeah, he said that childlike faith is how we receive a lot from God. Yeah, usually children, they don't want to know whether you have money somewhere or you have gotten your salary for the month. All they know is that when it is money, there will be food. But they don't want to know where the food comes from. They just know that there will be food. Yeah, they trust the love their parents have for them. When it is afternoon, they just know that food will come. They don't want to know where. When it is evening, they know food will come. And not just three times, even other snacks. They just know that all these things will come and they don't want to know where they will come from. And if only we can learn that faith from children, there's a lot we are going to get from God. But it's so difficult for people in the church today to really trust God like that. We want to calculate everything. We want to understand everything. How will God do it? What approach will God use? What channel will God use? And in so doing, we begin to have manifest unbelief and doubt. And in so doing, the angels God have assigned to help us, they become weak and they can't help us anymore. I mean, they couldn't help us anymore because our faith failed. Yeah. I pray that you will learn to trust God fully. In Jesus' name. Yeah, so we're going to stop here. If you have questions, you can always ask on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this word you have spoken to us. Thank you for showing us how your angels are very close to those who depend on you 100%. Thank you for showing us how much we will gain and benefit from you and your kingdom if we can trust you fully and depend on you fully. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here who have had this message. I pray that you teach everyone here to depend on you completely for everything in their their lives for everything. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that you will stop following your senses and your wisdom and your intelligence, your knowledge, but will start depending on the Lord's strength and wisdom from today onward in Jesus' name. I pray that the Holy Spirit shut down all those calculations you do in your mind, trying to fix things with your brain instead of depending on God. I pray that the Holy Spirit shut them down. I pray that the Holy Spirit teach you how to think in your mind so that your faith can always be alive towards God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. I pray for those of you that are ministers or leaders, and you have people that listen to you, people that follow you. I pray that you will receive wisdom from the Lord to teach these principles of God's kingdom to as many that are under your leadership. In the name of Jesus. And I pray that as you teach others to follow this lifestyle, they will also have testimonies and great results. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name.